Welcome to the Brand Builders Lab podcast. I'm your host, Suze Chadwick, certified business and mindset coach, author, and speaker. Each week, we'll be talking about simple but powerful business and mindset strategies that will help you build a lean, clean, and profitable business so you can learn to get out of your own way and pay yourself more. Forget average. It's time to level up. Hey, lovely. Welcome back to the Brand Builders Lab podcast. Awesome to have you here. Today, I'm very excited to have one of my lovely clients, Rowena Preddy from Preddy Designs, talking all about how to really think outside the box when it comes to building your brand. And as a graphic designer and a brand builder, she is somebody that knows what it takes to build a brand as well. Rowena also did my branding for Bold Vibes Consulting, which was an amazing process. She's got a really cool product called the Brand Quickie, and it gives you a number of different designs fairly fast if you're looking to upgrade your branding as well. So Rowena is bringing some of her expertise and her story and how she got to where she is today. And so I know that you're really going to enjoy this episode. I loved our conversation and it made me really think about how I am being uniquely myself and embracing more of my weird, which we will talk about in this podcast episode. So without further ado, let's dive in. Rowena, welcome to the Brand Builders Lab podcast, lovely.
I'm so excited to be here.
So good. Now, we've been on podcasts before. So I was like, were you on mine? Was I on yours? But I was on yours, I want to say like 2 or 3 years ago.
I would say 3 years ago. I think it was very much when I had just started working with you as my coach and I just launched my digital magazine. I think it was maybe the second issue. And that was hectic times, and I was major fangirl moment when I got you on. I was honestly, I still look back on that time and some of the people I got to talk to, you amongst them. Honestly, it was surreal. It was awesome.
So good. I mean, I always say to people, podcasters, I'm a massive fan of podcasting, you know that, but I'm just like, it just allows you to speak with so many different people and get to know their stories and learn from them and all the rest of it. And it's such a great thing to do. So I'm excited to have you on the podcast. As you said, you've been a client of mine for years and I love working with you. And it's been really interesting to see your evolution and your iterations of business too.
There's been a few already.
I know, which we'll talk a little bit about too. But for my listeners that don't know you, introduce yourself.
This is one of those things that I've been practicing since the making my game. So I'm Rowena. I am a branding and magazine designer with Preddy Creative. It is my business. It is me, myself, and I. And I really only ever have plans for that to be that. I spent the first few years of my business doing what graphic designers do, taking on all the jobs, and it wasn't working for me. And so I created the Quickie, which is my way of getting fast, quality, and affordable branding to startups and level up businesses.
Amazing. I love that. Yeah. And your brand Quickie, I actually, when I created BVC, so Bold Vibes Consulting, I got you to do the branding for that with your Quickie offer, which was
still one of my faves.
Fantastic. I love it. I love a good Quickie. And I don't mean that in a, you know, naughty way, but I do like play on words. I know it's very much your brand voice, but talk to me about being a graphic designer. So how did you get into graphic design? Was it something that you were always really good at? Was it something that you just enjoyed? Like, how did you kind of get to the beginning stages of having your own business?
I would say it's not your typical graphic designer's journey. I was the smart kid in school that was pushed to do the extra subjects. I think I was pretty stereotypical ADHD. I haven't been diagnosed, but you know, the one that didn't seem to study much but got the A's and the B's. And so I was pushed into one of your fairly typical academic streams when I was in high school. So I was meant to be an accountant, according to the universe. Actually, no, not according to the universe. It was actually according to everyone who was trying to put me into a box. And when I was in Form 5, so I think that's like year 10 here in Australia, I was allowed to take a sixth subject. And everyone was arguing for me to take all these like very academic subjects. My mum had to fight tooth and nail for me to be allowed to take art, because I think she could see how pushed I was on the academic side. And she saw how much I got out of art and it being sort of almost like therapy for me. And I went from getting D's to A's that year. It became like my outlet. And so over the next 2 years, 2 to 3 years of school, I actually ended up taking graphic design in school. I was allowed to take it as a subject. And it was my thing. Like it made me sing. Like it was like, these are all the things that I love to do. It's strategic thinking. It's being really creative. I love working with people. Like it was just all of these things that accounting most definitely was not for me at that time. Like I realized there's accountants out there that do things very different these days, but it was just the thought of staring down that barrel for the rest of my life. Like I went and worked in an accountant's firm for two months. It was supposed to be a 12-month contract. I couldn't last past 2 months. Like it was just, it wasn't for me. But one of the really cool things about my graphic design journey is that my mum actually went back and studied graphic design and got her degree 3 years before me as an adult student.
Gosh.
So my mum's a graphic designer. And so I would say that she probably deserves about half of my fees for university, because she was my mentor. She was my one that kicked me in the ass when I was trying to take the easy way out and pushed me to, you know, actively seek clients and real briefs and those types of things. And she's still that person today. Like I still call her up and still chat through projects with her. If I'm stuck on something, we'll Zoom and chat through it. But like I said, I wouldn't have found this path if she hadn't fought for me to take art.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's so good. And so when you finished university, did you go straight into your own business?
No, I worked 15 years for the man. And I would love to say that it was an educational process and I had amazing mentors and amazing, but it taught me a lot of things where I became very disenchanted with the industry. I discovered very fast I was seen as just a little bit too much. And that wasn't a celebrated thing. I needed to fit into a box and I needed to do the things. And it was actually like, in hindsight, looking back, it was actually really sad not to have that mentor. All I ever wanted was that person that goes, you know what? You have got this. I believe in you. I see something big in you. I see something great in you. I want to support that and foster it. Like I just wanted someone to say those words to me. And I never had it in those 15 years. I didn't get that during that time. I worked in advertising agencies that were very big advertising agencies in New Zealand. I really enjoyed the creativity. Like advertising for me was just like, let the crazy ideas come. So that was really cool that I got to lean into that. It also taught me how much to love drinking wine on Friday nights and going out for Thai. Like that was a big part of that dynamic. But when we moved to Australia, I was burnt out, honestly. Like burnt out wasn't a saying then. But that's clearly what I was. So I worked hospitality, lived the party life for a bit and found out I was pregnant. And I went and worked for an organization and this inkling, like I'm not sure if it was having kids, but it was just like, I don't like this person I'm having to be just to live this life I'm not particularly enjoying. Like to have the money to pay for the things that I don't even particularly need or want. Like it just... like I said, it'd been a process of becoming disenchanted with that sort of space. But at the same time, I also got to work on some really amazing projects where I kind of got that energy back for the industry. And just when I was like super excited for the possibilities in that job and I was communications manager, I was made redundant.
Okay.
So it was like another line. It was another point where I had to, and at that point I had to choose myself.
Yeah.
I knew that over sort of like learning and building myself up in the prior probably year or two in that position, I couldn't go back to having my value determined by someone else. It was a pretty ugly first year in business, I think. I had to do a lot of personal growth. I burnt out 1.5 times. I say the half is when I pulled myself out of it halfway through. And it was full on, I remember. But like it's a journey I would never, ever I would go back through it a million times to just be where I am in my business now.
Yeah, I love that. That's so good. I think it's just natural that, you know, when you're first starting out, it is tough and you are figuring it out and you're finding your way and you're finding what works as well. And so I know that, you know, you talk about a number of things when it comes to, you know, building a brand that challenges the stereotype and that, you know, you're building a business and brand that really works for you. But one of the things that I want to kind of explore is you talk about really thinking outside the brand box,
mm-hmm.
really thinking outside the brand box. And so I would love to know how you've developed your business and your products and services by thinking outside the brand box.
Well, the very first step was I had to get really comfortable with embracing my weird things and who I was. I had to get super comfortable with that, which after 15 years of being told I was a little bit too much, it was a struggle at times, but I sort of leaned into those things. I started to have a level of awareness about what I really enjoyed doing and what I like. At first I jumped in, I think like we all do, and just did everything for everyone in a very generic way and just kind of went at it like I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And then I started noticing that a lot of people, when they were giving me testimonials, would use similar words. They would, you know, we would end up having amazing conversations. The one, something that was supposed to be 20 minutes would end up being an hour, would have to roll over the Zoom call. And I just started to get these clients that came back to me for the same sort of reasons. And I had to sort of start to initiate like that pause, that stop and recognition of why. And awareness is a huge thing that I've built into my business of just kind of having those pause moments, whether it's for a positive or a negative. Like if something annoys me, I do pause in my business and go, well, why is that annoying me? You know, how can I make that not annoy me in the future? And I sort of leaned into looking at why these clients are coming to me. And it was for a lot of those things that I was like put into the box and sort of like tried to fit into a different shape for all those years working for agencies. It was the fact that I was bold. It was the fact that I was confident. It was the fact that I had this crazy strategic brain that would go way left field when I could just do something really simple. It would sort of push the envelope for those clients. Realized really fast in my industry, honesty isn't something that apparently happens that often. And I can't lie in that sort of space at all whatsoever. Like I am so in it for the client that I'm going to say, listen, I don't actually think you're ready for me yet. I think you probably go away and have a look at X, Y, and Z first. And then I feel like we can do our best work together. You know, so I kind of have that raw honesty thing. And those are things that aren't apparently stereotypical in my industry. Like the stereotypes in my industry are that it's really cool, it's really modern, you know, it's really expensive. It was all of these things. And I was like, I'm actually none of those things. Mm. I probably lean into it here and there, but in my own way. Mm. And it's something I encourage my clients to do. I so often, you know, I'll get people come and go, I want a logo like this. I'm like, but there's a reason they have that logo, because that's the logo that's a representation of them. That's what that's like when we work through BBC together. Honestly, it's such a true representation of you and your color and your vibe that you couldn't not look at that brand and go, well, it suits.
Yeah.
Hands down.
I love it. I love it. That's so good. And so when it comes to kind of thinking outside the brand box, what are some of the things that you know, my listeners can really think about, because I think that, you know, the market's so noisy and it's really easy. I was on a call just before this where somebody sort of mentioned, you know, it can sometimes feel hard when everybody's doing things a certain way and you want to do things your way and really finding, I guess, you know, what works and mm-hmm. how to find your own flavor, your own style, those sorts of things. And so how do you work with clients when it comes to really understanding them and bringing that to life?
I really dig into getting to know the client and their business before working with them. And even though I work in a quick process, I've got that system down so that it's really about right from the start, I want people to sort of be thinking about themselves as unique, their business as unique. A lot of the questions I ask is, you know, how do you see yourself as different from your competitors and things like that? Because I think so often people tend to go into comparison mode and then shut down. But I kind of see it as a positive. It's like, well, what do you like from that? And what can we take from that that's you? What don't you like? And what can we definitely stay far away from? And so it's sort of finding this amazing like cross-section between, you know, who they are, what are some of the cliches of the industry and things like that, and how they lean into it or away from it, and finding that cross-section. And then my job is to give that visual representation to that. And, you know, often people go, well, how can you get through all of that in 2 days? And it's because it's all about the process. It's all about that I take people along on the journey. Like, I find that people out the other end, they often say to me, I had no freaking idea that branding could be fun. And I think that, like, starting to sort of lean into the things that make you different, lean into the things, like, I think so often we see those things as stuff to be shy about or embarrassed about, or, you know, like something that shouldn't be celebrated. But I think that, like, if you look at a series of brands, like some of your favorite brands, and name some of the things you love most about them, they're their standout points. And so I always try to say to people, you know, celebrate you and your brand. You know, think about those things. Like, I show up in random bright colors all the time. I have a crazy earring collection. That's part of my brand. It's part of a flow-on representation of who I am. I designed business cards for myself 5 years ago, that I've only just started to be able to use now, thanks COVID. but they're still a true representation of who I am, because I leaned into those things. And I think that by doing that with branding, it kind of creates permission for some people. Like, they go, wow, that really feels like me, and I'm so excited by it. And it gives almost people that permission to lean into some of those things more that can often seem scary when you're just sort of throwing them out into the void. But by having a brand that strongly represents that for you, it can kind of do that for you when you're not even in the room.
Yeah. What do you think, or what are the things that you hear from clients that big concerns for them, or things that they worry about, or things that kind of hold them back from stepping into that uniqueness, or the things that really are them?
I think often the biggest one is that I'm not there yet. That people often will design for the brand of who they are now or yesterday, because they feel like they haven't come to own their future self yet. They haven't, you know, whether it's a confidence thing or things like that. But that's why, I mean, a brand can really do some of that for you. And it's kind of looking at, you know, I've had my brand for 6 years now, and I can see it still being true to me in 6 years time. It might sort of have new edges or new colors or new something, but it's still in essence who I am. So it will grow with you. I mean, cost is definitely something that comes into it, but it's partially why I sort of developed my packages the way that I did, was so that it could be something that's more looked at a marketing cost as an ongoing thing. I think so often people think of branding as a one and done.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people will come to me with that fear, where it's just like, this is so big and it's huge and it's epic and it becomes this giant colorful elephant, and my house has got to be a colorful elephant in the room, and it just becomes too much. And that's why I really like the fact they can do it in parts, and looking at it, that a brand can be something that grows and evolves with you if it's based in foundationally who you are and what you stand for, because those things can shift and ebb, but the core of them ultimately stays the same.
Yeah. And I love what you said before, and I agree totally with this, is that you want a brand for the vision that you have, not potentially where you are right now. It's like, because it's about positioning you. It's about when people look at it, or when you look at it, it's like what you're working towards, and it's what you're wanting to create. And so I think that that's such an interesting and important thing to remember, is that when you are getting your brand designed, or when you're looking at evolving it, you really want to build it for the vision that you're building, not for maybe exactly where you are now.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. Like, so many people come to me, and I have a client that's just come to me recently, and we worked on her branding 5 years ago, and she's just come back to me and her business is growing and evolving. And she's like, but I don't want to change my logo. I just need you to take these words out that don't apply anymore, because it's still so true to who she was, and she saw it for the vision that she wanted in the future.
Yeah.
And she's grown, like it's grown with her. Mm-hmm. And it's got the ability to shift and ebb as she shifts and ebbs.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take a second and turn off my notifications because they're driving me insane, and I'm so sorry. I thought I'd done it before.
That's okay.
You can be turned off. Do not disturb. You can be turned off. My daughter left her iPad on here and it gets all my notifications. So I'm just going to turn it off here. Do not disturb on. Right. Apologies for that.
That's okay. All right, cool. So when you talk about building a brand that works for you, what do you mean by that? And how can we think about that for ourselves?
This has been a huge part, and it's ever evolving for me, even in my own business, where it's kind of taking those moments and sort of seeing the things that have the most impact. Like I roll out a beautiful social media feed. Like I've got that down, you know. Yes, maybe the consistency sometimes isn't the greatest, but it looks beautiful. But to quite honestly, my branding is definitely stronger to roll out. Like part of my personality is my brand. So honestly, rolling out really good e-newsletters, I get way more response than that. And I think it's just having that awareness of where your strengths lie and how you gravitate in different areas, but test them out and play first. I'm not saying, you know, go completely write things off, but I think branding's been taken so seriously. I think it has the ability to actually like make things a lot more fun. And I think we lose some of that fun in the have-tos and the shoulds of business. Mm. And branding often becomes one of those have-tos or shoulds and like moving back along to the proper work, you know. But I think it can really help you along that journey and like ways that you embed it. So I often say to people, you've got to think, yes, I'm branding, but I'm also, there's like, you know, copywriters who are branding copywriters, and it's really thinking about that tone of voice and that consistency, you know. You can read my website and you can hear me talk now, and you'll go on it and you'll go, oh, well, that's totally her. And it's just having that consistency. And I often say to people, because they often come to me after a couple of years of DIYing, and they kind of have that, like, it's kind of like bumps, like they'll have some things nailed, but then something's not quite working, and then there's other things nailed. And so it kind of has this not quite consistent, not quite, you know, level up branding, where it's like, you know, leveling up who they're targeting at, leveling up, you know, how they're portrayed to the world. So I kind of like to look at branding as nailing your foundations first and pulling up those areas. So instead of going to people, you need a whole new revamp, like this isn't working, it's thousands and thousands of dollars, it's going, what's going to have the most impact for you right now? And I think people get overwhelmed by all the branding things.
Mm.
But what's going to have the most impact for you right now? Is it having social media templates so it relieves some of that pressure and that stress? Is it, for example, having your logos in all the formats, because the one that you got back then didn't really have all of that? You know, is that going to be really helpful for you? Is it that you're now becoming a speaker and you need these things that go into the speaker world? Focus on that area, because that's going to bring in the money, it's going to bring in the confidence, it's going to bring in the brand awareness. Really focus, like, what's going to have the most impact right now? If I put my marketing dollars into this, is it going to stand the test of time? Is it something I can use forever? Is it a template so that I can do the editing after the fact, so that then you can come back to me for the next amazing thing?
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's such a good point as well, Rowena, is that sometimes people feel like, well, I have to get everything done all at once, one big bang, one massive cost. And I think the fact that people can get, you know, elements done like as and when they need it. And also just remembering that, you know, the whole reason and the whole point of having like your social templates or having your logo in certain formats or your colors and all the rest of it is so that your brand is recognizable and people, when they see it, even before they see your mm-hmm. name, they know that it's yours as well. So I think that, you know, just knowing that you can do that as you mm-hmm. go, I think can feel a lot more easeful for people. It can feel a lot more doable, affordable mm-hmm. as well. And so, yeah, I guess that's another thing, is that don't wait for it all to, you know, be for you to be able to do it all in one go.
Branding's supposed to actually make your life easier.
Yeah.
And I think so often people think, oh, well, once I've done this, it should be hard. No, it's actually meant to be easier. So, you know, I hand over templates to people and I say, don't change them. Keep them exactly as they are. Like, really, like, these have been designed for you to think in the areas that have the most impact. These are designed so that you can put your amazing content into it and you don't have to think about it and piss around with fonts for like 3 hours. Yes. Which, let's be honest, so many people do it. You know, it's actually designed to relieve some of that pressure, not add the pressure on. So I have a client now that comes to me once a quarter, and she's put it into her marketing budget. And some quarters she does it, some courses she does 2 days. Like, it's just, it's about what she needs most in her business. But she said the thing that she loves the most is now that she's got all these layers. Like, she's got all these templates, she's got like all the foundations laid. So now she's like, well, what next? You know, it becomes more of a, less of a reactive thing and more of a proactive thing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And it, like you said, it's fun. It's like the fun, beautiful stuff that you get to create and build, and that elevates your brand, that helps you be able to charge more because it looks amazing, that makes you feel more professional as well. And also, I think one of the biggest things that I discovered when I first came into business is that a lot of women in business, because that's who we both work with, a lot of women in business weren't putting themselves out there because they hated the look of their brand. They mm-hmm. thought it was like not professional. It didn't reflect them. It wasn't the quality that they wanted it to be. And so I think that that's also like a really big element for having your brand be what you want it to be. To have it mm-hmm. working for you is for you to be like, yes, I can't wait to put this out there. I can't wait to share this. When I look at it, I feel so proud, and I feel like that is a total reflection of me and who I am and how I want to be in the world as well. And mm-hmm. so I think that if your brand, your visual brand, does not make you feel like that, I think that that's the time to kind of be like, okay, time to make this a priority, bite the bullet, budget for it, take the action to make it happen. Because I think, yeah, it's so important. And one of my other clients is actually just booked in with you as well. And that was the conversation that we had, was that she was just like, I didn't like the last branding shoot I had. I don't like my colors. I want to stand out. She's in the financial services industry. She's like, I want to stand out. And I just don't think that what I have is reflective of who I want to be. And so, you know, I'm working on all the brand strategy elements with her around her personal brand and monetizing and elevating that. And now she's come to you to get her visual brand redone, which she's very excited about. And I just think that that is also, you know, you've kind of got the, if you're at the beginning and you don't feel proud of it, you could even be, I mean, she's years and years and years in business. And so it doesn't matter. Like, you could be at all different stages of business when you have that feeling, when you mm-hmm. have that feeling that your visual brand and the way that you're visually representing your business and yourself is just not where you really want to see yourself. It's not reflective of you, and it's not mm-hmm. reflective of the quality of work that you deliver or how you want to represent yourself. So I think it's, mm-hmm. I think that, you know, I think sometimes we know in ourselves that we don't love it. And I think when you know that, that's when you got to take action.
But it's even like, it's almost like a full circle moment there when you think about it, because my brand's bold, my brand's out there, my brand is very true to who I am. But the client that you've referred to me, those are the things that she's looking for. Those are the things that she needs. And so by me having a true to me brand, I'm attracting clients that are true to who I am and attracted to me as a person, as well as what I can do for them. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, it's done the work for me. I mean, you did some of the work as well, but.
But with all of my clients, I mean, I have like a couple of, I have like say three designers and with different brands themselves, mm-hmm. all clients of mine, you're one of them. And I'm like, because everybody's very personal, like everybody mm-hmm. makes their own personal decisions. I'm not the coach for everybody. Like you speak to me, speak to one or two other coaches, decide whose flavor, whose brand, whose, you know, manner really speaks to you and then make a decision, which is why I'm like, these are three people I trust. I think that they're great. I think that they've, you know, I've worked with them or I feel like their work is high quality. And so now you have to go and make the decision who resonates with you the most. And mm-hmm. so I love to give my clients that, like, you know, that kind of referral where I'm just like, you decide, but I trust all three of these people. And so, yeah, I think that your brand, who you are, the way that you work, the processes that you work through, I think that that speaks to the right clients for sure.
That's exactly why I chose you. Like, it was exactly the same. Your brand was such a true representation of who you were. Everywhere that I stalked you for a long while, like, you know, beforehand, it was like there was a level of consistency, and that was important to me because it developed trust and it developed all these other things that like helped me to make that decision. When I heard you speak on stories, and I still watch all your stories every morning. When I saw you on stories, I heard you on the podcast, and of course I judged your graphics and was like, well, that's clearly aligned with who I am and what I love. It just made it a no-brainer. You know, because it was such a visual and it was audio and it was all these different ways that you were the person that I needed you to be for me in that situation. But so much of that was what your brand did for you as well. Like your brand, if your brand had felt disconnected to that, and it had probably been, you know, a lot of coaches, for instance, quite modern or quite restrained or those sorts of things, that was new. You know what I mean? Like when you listen to you on these podcasts, it's like I got a true representation of that when I went and had a colorful blast on your feet, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what you said before, that is another really big thing that sometimes we don't attribute to visual branding is the trust building, mm-hmm. is that consistency builds trust. It's like when everything that you do, everything that you say, everything that I see all connects and feels cohesive, it makes me feel like that's actually who you are. Like mm-hmm. that makes me feel like I can trust you, because it's not like I'm going to your website and seeing one thing, going to your socials and seeing another thing, going, you know, to the podcast or wherever else and hearing something different. I think that we underestimate the power of a really cohesive, strong and connected visual brand that not only represents what we're doing now, but who we want to be in the future as well. So that brand vision. So yes, I am here for all of that and I love it. And so Rowena, what do you feel have been your biggest lessons in business that you think could help others?
I actually went through this last year. So I had 5 years in business last year, which felt huge. Congrats. It was almost the longest I'd been employed at one place, you know, like technically that's this year for me. Like it's the longest I've been employed in one place. And so I felt like I wanted to look back on that and look back on the change, because I felt like a completely different person. Like I knew that my values and my core traits were still through and through me, but I just knew that there were some things that had been really pivotal. So one of them was, and we've already talked about this, personal growth equals business growth, professional growth. You won't, often when you're stuck, it's because you're stuck. The business isn't stuck. You need to look inwards. And I say this all the time when I was going through the coaching programs with you, and when I'd jump in and out of VBA, whenever there was a live session, even if I felt like the other sessions I was kind of across, I would still jump into the mindset one, because there were times I jumped into it and I'd be like, I've totally got this. And it would highlight things. And it taught me that that's really valuable, that often if I'm feeling a certain way, I have to look personal rather than professional. you know, a course or a new this or a new that isn't the answer. The answer is I've got to figure out why that's happening. And that that firmly sits on the personal side of things. What else would be? Oh, this one was a biggie for me. You define your version of success. Was freaking huge for me. I'd been living most of my career, living up to other people's goals, living up to other people's, you know, what I should be doing, you know, and all of that sort of stuff. Success meant being a millionaire, success meant being having a big house, success meant all of these things. But all those things did and all that pressure did was make me stressed and give me anxiety.
Yeah. And I've heard so many people, and I mean, obviously it's not everybody feels like this, but I have heard quite a few business owners, and I heard one just recently as well, where she was like, I made the millions, I bought the big house, I had the huge team, I did everything that I was supposed to do in order to be successful. And she said, and I was miserable. So she like went on sabbatical for a year, got rid of her whole team. Like, she's like, I love my house, but, you know, sold all the cars because thought that was the status symbol that she needed. And I just think it's really interesting. I think that, you know, feeling like you have to be posting about the millions of dollars that you're making or the, you know, the massive successes that you're having. And I'm just like, you know, something, if I can get a massage and a facial like regularly, if I can like not work whenever I choose not to, if I could go away on holidays for 3 weeks or 4 weeks and the business continues to run and I've got happy like clients who are doing what they want to do, you know, something, I am successful because that's my definition of success. And everybody is going to have their own thing that they love and that they're like, that is what makes me feel successful. So I'm such a huge advocate of success your way, because I think that you end up very unhappy when you chase success other people's way.
Oh, honestly, it was one of the hugest things that I realized. And I have to admit, I mourned it a little bit, because I mourned a little bit of like the amount of time that I'd been chasing other people's like version of what my life should be. And the second, like, I'm very similar to you. I have very simple needs and I feel like a freaking millionaire when those needs are met. And I think it's just having that awareness, again, awareness. I feel like I say that word a lot. Some of the other things would be if you start talking out. And for me, that was being in a coaching program of really finding networking spaces that supported that because I realized how often I got in my own head. And as soon as I got out of my head, often things would supercharge. Because I just got rid of all the like endless round circles in my head. Boundaries, I would say that's another, like, my biggest lesson has been boundaries. And I feel like it goes hand in hand with like personal growth as well. Like, I think that said, though, I have everything from like boundaries in, you know, like for silly things, but it's like silly things that protect my mental health. So they're not so silly, you know, to like the bigger things, to, you know, for instance, I even got to the point where I was like, you know what? I actually hate chasing money. Like, it's literally the thing I hate most. I'm actually going to build into my process that a deposit to secure your days and a deposit before I hand over files. Simple as that. It's all part of the process. I've got beautiful written emails that actually make it a fun thing, like something exciting to look forward to. It's because then you're going to get the fun files, you know, and just figuring out the things that those boundaries and what they protect for me and what they, the stress and the pressure that they relieve. I love boundaries. I love the boundaries.
Best. And I think boundaries are really just a way of saying yes to yourself.
Yeah.
Like, it's honestly, just like, what do I want? How do I want to work? And then how do I set the parameters around that. And I think I love the fact that you identified that there was something happening in your business that you really hated. And you're like, all right, how do we go and fix that so that I don't have to deal with that anymore, but in a way that also works for my clients and works for me. So I think
people wouldn't pick this about me, but I get cranky over little things. Sometimes like little things like that will annoy me. And so if something's going to annoy me that much.
It's not little though. Chasing money is not a little thing. Like, it's a pain. Nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to do it. And so I think that if you're a, well, really any business, most of the time you should be able to just set that this is how you work.
And I've also that most of my
realize that.
I will say that most of my big things has been around money, like across mindset and other things as well, like moving past some of those things.
Yeah.
But just learning to, again, it's one of those things that as soon as you actually address it or talk it out with someone, it's like, well, that's easy. I'll just do that thing. Done. Cool. Fixed. Why did I stress 6 months about something that took me 6 minutes?
But the thing is that sometimes we don't know before it happens. We're like, oh, I didn't even realize that that's how I could do it. Or you're not alone.
And I'll probably say my very last thing is taking the time to work on your business and actually having those reflection points. I mean, I have a CEO day now because Sue's advocated for them. But it's also
all of my clients have a CEO day. I'm just like, you know something? You can have a CEO 2 hours or an hour.
That's pretty much all mine is.
Whatever it takes. Yeah.
Yep. But it's just having that level of reflection and growth. Like, for instance, this may not seem like a huge deal, but I grew 30 new followers this month. I haven't grown that much in a month and like a couple of years. But because I was following the numbers and doing the figures and sort of having that awareness and that sort of like actual thing to check against, it's like, well, I've done these things and it's had this result. Cool.
Yes.
You know, and it's just, I think having that level of awareness, whether it's a positive or a negative, like if something's not working, taking that time instead of like literally flogging a dead horse, taking that time to sort of step back and figure out why, be a bit raw, be a bit honest, give yourself a little slap on the wrist if it's needed and move along.
Yeah, but I also think just like that, I mean, I shared a while ago that we had a massive dip in podcast listeners, and it was because two of the apps had updated something and it had unchecked in our podcast app distribution. So we like had half the number of listeners, but it was only because we look at our stats that we were able to see that. Whereas that could have gone on for months and a year. And I just wouldn't have known that a technicality happened and we would have had half of our listeners and I would have just continued on. So I'm such a big believer in looking at your numbers, and you know, you don't call yourself a CEO if you're not doing the things that is required as a CEO, which is really understanding your business. And it doesn't take long. It doesn't have to be like really cumbersome with everything that you're doing, but I think it just makes such a huge difference to the way that you operate your business. So I love that.
Hands down, honestly, it's working through, like I will actually say one of the most pivotal things that's actually changed how I have branded my business in the last 3 years was your brand strategy module. Like as a brand designer, just working through someone else's version of brand and thinking of it outside of my little box really helped me to realign myself with the direction I wanted to be heading in. And it helped me to make tweaks to my own visual branding to align with that.
Yeah, I love that.
You know?
Yeah, so good. Yeah, I love the brand strategy stuff. I'm just like, I'm obsessed with it. I love it. I'm in a group with somebody who, you know, is all about branding. And even as somebody who used to run a brand agency and works with brands as well, I'm just like, having other people around you who stretch your thinking. You know, I love the fact that you're like a graphic designer and you're in branding, but the brand strategy module was a big one for you. I think sometimes in business, we think, oh yeah, like I know that. Like, no, all good. Like I already know that. So I don't need to do that. And I think that coming back, which is one of the things I always say about BBA, I go through it every year. I'm like, is my brand strategy still the same or are we changing it up this year? You know, what are my products and services? How much are we earning? Like, what are my systems like? I think that we should never get too comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a negative thing. I think it's just the market moves. We've got to move and keep up with it as well. So,
and that's what going through BBA each time that I do, I often give myself a different purpose and a different focus each time I go through it. And so I take something different from it because it's a different angle or it's a different, you know, service that I'm looking at offering, or, you know, it just helps me to dig into the thing that maybe has fallen a little by the wayside. And those are the things that I often find that when you put that little, like I said, working on the business is one of the biggest things that will actually get your business moving forward, because it just gives you space to think about things instead of just doing the things.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and we can so easily get tied up in just the doing things. Like, I get to work with shiny, pretty colors all the time. So, like, hence my word of the year being consistency, because honestly, I get distracted by shiny things all the time.
Yeah, I love it. Cool, cool. Amazing. Oh, so many good tips. So what are you working on now, and where can my listeners find you?
So this year I've realized that obviously there's a lot of foundational work for branding to be done. But then I've also realized that I've had so many wonderful clients that have now, they're like, yeah, cool, sweet, I got this nailed now. What next? So I'm starting to offer really niche quickie packages. So I have one for course creators, which has just come out, which basically helps course creators figure out and create templates for all the things for their course, so they can be really in control of having a course that they can easily market right through to offering a complete user experience. But then I'm also rolling it out for speakers, because I've had a lot of speakers come across my desk, but really like leaning into how we can be creative for some of these things, because if I don't see another boring PowerPoint for the rest of my life, it won't be too soon. Like, honestly, let's have some fun with stuff. And I really love that energy that speakers bring to the table. So I feel like we can definitely have some fun with that. And then also I am actually doing a podcaster one as well for people that have gone, yeah, cool. So next to my business is a podcast. And what does that look like? And how can it be an extension of my brand and an extension of me? And so it's a really fun way to sort of take that branding and sort of pop it in a different direction. But you can find all the information on all of that stuff over on my website, which is prettycreative.com.au.
Yeah. Can you dispel that? Can you dispel that for us, Rowena?
Well,
all the links will be in the show notes as well, but just for those walking the dog, yeah.
So my last name is Pretty, and I love a pun and a dag joke, and I put all these like super modern, super creative names out to the world when I was naming my business, and everyone just laughed their ass off at Pretty Creative, which is PrettyDDY.
Yeah.
creative.com.au. So that's who I've been ever since.
Amazing. So, so good. So, and I also love, because obviously it's close to my heart, all the personal brand niches where it's like course creators, podcasters, speakers, basically like any of my Amplify Mastermind clients. I'm just like, just go speak to Rowena. She'll sort all your assets out. Perfect alignment. So, so good. But yeah, go follow Rowena on all the socials and everything else. And you've inspired me a little bit. I'm like, I think I need to get my social templates updated to have a think about that. And maybe something for our new community. I'm going to have to work on that too. But Rowena, thanks so much for being on the potty and sharing all of your awesome thoughts and tips and your experience as well. We love a good fireside chat.
Well, anytime you've got a space for a fireside chat, I'll bring the wine.
Sounds good. Thanks, lovely.